Welcome to the Monday edition of the Pocket Gamer podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Hello.
And Chris James.
Good Monday.
Good Monday.
It's a new thing I'm doing.
So, good Monday. Yeah. It's funny that no one ever says that. No one ever says good Monday, good Tuesday.
They do now. They're going to be, it's a new trend. You watch out for this year. Be a lot more of it.
Yeah, it's going to catch on. Right, so we're going to talk about games we've been playing, aren't we? And unfortunately, I haven't been playing any games this week because my iPod Touch has stopped working. I spoke about this a little bit in the last podcast. It's broken, got it fixed, but still broken because of a compatibility issue with Windows 7. So today, I'm going to be playing very much the role of umpire as Chris and Fraser bat their ideas, their thoughts, and their criticisms back and forth across the net of radio supremacy. Is that okay with you guys?
That's
brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's
start on you.
What do you want to go into, Fraser, first?
Well, let's start with Square Ball, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Square Ball. The theme, I should add, of this week's games that we've been playing is games that we talked about in Tracy's top 10 list games of 2009, but which we hadn't played while talking about it. So you might remember in that podcast that there was a few games where we're like, oh yeah, this looks good, but we haven't played it. Are the games that we're talking about this week. So yeah, the first of those is Square Ball. We're also going to be talking about Space Invaders, Infinity Gene, and Need for Speed Shift. So yeah, I think the idea is to start with Square Ball. Everyone played it? Apart from you, obviously, Rob. Well, you have played this on the Rob.
I played it
very briefly. I can talk a little bit about Square Ball.
Okay.
First, what we need to do is introduce the game, and then we get a minute each.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So let's introduce Square Ball. Square Ball is an unusual... Carry on.
Go on, you introduce it. Sorry, I said... Yeah, I do apologize.
It's an unusual kind of stripped-down game. In monochrome, I believe, although I don't know, I'm working from memory here, which is never good. It's kind of a cross between a horizontal shooter and Mario, I think is what Tracy said. Basically, you're just trying to get a little square ball, technically not a ball, I suppose, to the end of a level by guiding it in between gaps in a kind of 2.5D environment. And if you crash into things, you die. And what it's most noticeable for, I suppose it's quite an unusual gameplay mechanic, and so it's noticeable for that, and it's also noticeable for its stripped-down aesthetic, and it's quite an interesting game. Made it into our top 10, obviously. So I think that's all the introduction it needs. Why don't you start, Fraser? I'm going to press the button now.
Right, okay. I like this game a lot. I think what's really cool about it, as Rob mentioned, it is kind of like a strange combination between a shooter and a platformer, but not in the way that sounds. I mean, the main thing about this game is that you don't actually control the ball itself so much as you actually control the environment that it moves through. So you can scroll the environment, and the ball is always, or the square rather, is always kind of bouncing up and down. And you have to kind of avoid certain things such as gaps and various obstacles. But at the same time, you have to deliberately bounce the square into certain objects to gain points as well. So it's quite, I don't know, it's kind of one of those games that has you on tenterhooks because there's always those gaps that you feel that you can make. You feel that you've got the time, but and you're kind of caught between whether or not you're going to go for it. And then, you know, when you do, you always kind of feel like, I saw that coming. You know, it's kind of got that kind of quality of a platformer, and that's, I think, probably key to its charm as well. And as Rob mentioned as well, it's got this amazing stripped-down aesthetic where it's just really, really kind of...
quack, quack, quack.
All right.
Oh, does that go through?
That's good.
All right. Chris, you can pick up where I left off, I suppose.
Yeah, I like this game a lot. It's very simple. As you say, the design's very, very, very basic. It's kind of got that kind of Pong kind of feel to it all, very blocky. The controls are really simple. You just slide left and right to move it, and it's the speed at which you slide it. It's the speed at which the ball kind of the background moves across. It's good. It's There's a couple of different modes. There's challenge mode. There's some a story which is just ongoing levels, I think it's really good fun. It's the sort of thing that you'll kind of play, I reckon, for 3 or 4 minutes at a time, and then have a break and then come back to, and you'll get stuck now and again, but then you'll come back and you'll be able to make some progress. And I generally think it's a really great little game to pick up and play. And I'd give it a thumbs up. I think it's great. I can't remember how much it was, but assuming it's only one of those, it's kind of less than a couple of quid. I think it's worth playing, and there's some fun to be had. And that's me, really.
59p, I think it is.
Quack, 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 quack. Is that bell noise coming through?
Yeah.
No, you just quack, quack, really.
I'm quacking because that's what I was making my iPod do last week, but then...
Oh, okay, sorry, don't worry.
We're doing this courtesy of onlinestopwatch.com.
Okay.
It makes a giggity-giggity-giggity noise at the end. So I think I'll stick with the quack, quite frankly.
What do you make of it, Rob? Because you've not spoken about it, you've just introduced it.
Yeah, I'll do my minute now. Here we go. Square Ball. Yeah, so it's nice. It's a really nice, unique, innovative idea. And I really like the way it looks. I think that if I was going to criticize it, which I suppose I will, because everyone else has been so positive about it, and it made it into our top 10 of the year, so it's always nice to offer the other view, is that you might find it a bit kind of empty and aimless. Like, it doesn't have characters, and it doesn't have a story, and it doesn't have the kind of things that might motivate you to play. It's only got the gameplay itself, which isn't... even Tetris had a kind of rocket-based story in it, didn't it? But I suppose it's not completely necessary for a game to have like a kind of subtext to everything, but that's the only criticism I'd level against it, is there is a kind of emptiness at its heart. So the game is good, it's interesting, it's new, it plays really well, the controls are very good, but you might find that a problem. But still, I really like it. Quack, 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 quack.
Good quacking. Quacked up there. So I think, that's good. Overall, I think that's sounds like 3 thumbs up, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely from me. A thumbs up from me, certainly.
Well, you can't give it 3 thumbs up on your own.
I'll give it 2, at the very least.
The freak smelting incident in the Highlands. Okay, cool. So that's good. Can I then introduce Space Invader Infinity Gene? Is that all right? Which is our next game. Again, it's one from last year that we kind of didn't really pick up and talk about too much, but we wanted to catch on games that we haven't picked up on before. It is basically Space Invaders, but gone a bit mental, is how I'd like to describe it. It's kind of your familiar left and right shooting waves of oncoming aliens action, but it's been given an injection of design, and I guess, what's that rhythm action game? What's that? I guess it's like those games like Rez or. There's a game I'm trying to think of, I can't think of now. But
Auditorium?
Yeah, not Auditorium. No, I was thinking of something that's on PSP.
Luminous?
Yeah, but that kind of Luminous style. I mean, it is quite. It's very much vector based kind of graphics that are in there. But basically, you start shooting things, and suddenly the screen just kind of explodes, and you go somewhere completely different, and weird aliens start appearing from nowhere, and then this waves of things just coalesce on your position, and weapons going up everywhere. There's some cooler weapon effects. It sounds quite cool, and generally, yeah, it's a very interesting update, I think, on Space Invaders. It has all the kind of the things you like from Space Invaders, a constant attacking action, but with a modern designy twist. So I think that's a fair description.
I'd agree with
Geometry
that.
Wars type graphical sensibility and Rez.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Geometry Wars. That's something else I was thinking of. But yes, good point, Rob. So yeah, so I've kind of have sort of do I combine what I liked about it in it as well? I might have done.
Now you've got to fill a minute.
All right, but you go first.
He's going to go first, Fraser.
Sure, I'll go first.
Start.
Okay, to be honest with you, I mean, this is different from regular Space Invaders, but not so much so that you're going to be, I think, gameplay-wise, not so much so that you're going to be blown away. I think most of what's different about this version of Space Invaders is its aesthetic. You know, it looks a bit kind of, you know, as we said, it's got this sort of Geometry Wars kind of feel, and it's really deliberately basic, but in a really kind of austere but cool kind of way. And it's got other things like, you know, when you die, there's like random quotes in there from philosophers, thinkers, and, you know, various other kind of famous, notable historical characters. One of the ones I came across was a Darwin quote. I can't remember what the quote was. So it's to me, it's kind of like, it's there's a lot of window dressing, but the gameplay is essentially the same. But that's no bad thing, because the gameplay is, of course, extremely classic and you know, fully realised right from the day it very first came out. And it works brilliantly on the iPhone. You know, the touch screen is perfect.
Quack, quack.
All right.
Yeah, I lost the car noises. Okay, Chris.
Can I just say before you go, Chris, I've only got 21 minutes of battery left, according to my thing. So
21 minutes to go. We've got 21 minutes to go. Okay, yeah, so I think... I said in my kind of introduction, I do quite kind of like this. I take what Fraser's saying. I think it is the action that different. I guess I disagree with some of it, because I think in the original, you just move left and right and press the button. So it's quite different from Space Invaders. You can move around the screen, you've got loads of power-ups all the time, and I do think the action kind of is quite different, actually, so I didn't take what Fraser said at all, I suppose. I like it, because it's a very modern take on a classic, and it's just fun. It's a bit crazy. You're constantly surprised by what's kind of going on, what's going on around you. And what's going to happen next, and what you've got to shoot. It's a bit unclear at times exactly what you should be shooting and what you can get away without shooting. But you know, you kind of get used to that. And generally, you just enjoy it, really. It's just quite a joyous experience. I think maybe the hardcore gamer would enjoy it maybe slightly more than the more casual player. But generally, yes.
Quack. Quack.
Stop quacking at me. Stop your quacking. Don't quack. Don't duck the issue, Rob.
Quack. I love this. I love this thing. It quacks me up.
Fantastic.
I have a question. How does it compare to... I don't remember the name of the game, but there's the recently you reviewed a really kind of Space Invaders-esque title that, again, was presented in a really Geometry Wars.
Radiant.
Yeah, how does it compare to that? If someone wants to say, which of these should I buy...
I mean, it's a tough call gameplay wise because ultimately the gameplay is very similar in both games. The gameplay on Infinity Gene, I think, is a lot more fluid. It's quicker, it's more fast paced, there's definitely more enemies. The variation is perhaps a little bit less so far as what I've experienced on Infinity Gene. It seems to be that, you know, the enemy patterns vary, but the types of blaster and stuff don't vary as dramatically as they do in Radiant. But the reason I would choose Radiant is for the reason that you gave, actually, Rob, when we were talking about that game a few weeks ago, is that the writers of that game have really gone for it. They've really kind of attempted to actually imbue this game with some sort of a narrative. And it is an engaging narrative, basic though it may be, and I really, really like that about it. So I think I would probably plump for Radiant if forced to choose between the two.
Well, I'd stick with Infinity Gene. I'm a big fan of this. I'm actually playing it as we speak, and I shall continue to play it for a while, I think. So I'm thumbsing it up overall. Definitely, I got another thumbs up this week. So I'm unsurprising considering these are games of the year. But yeah,
I like it. So let's get to game three before Fraser's battery runs out.
Okay. Yeah.
He's going to introduce it. Fraser, it's your turn.
Fraser's my turn. Okay, I'll chat about this. Need for Speed Shift. It doesn't really need much of an introduction, does it, really? A Need for Speed game. This is the second Need for Speed game to come out on the iPhone. Came out reasonably quickly after the last one, because the last one, I think, was quite delayed in arriving. Am I right in saying that, or am I wrong? There was Need for Speed Undercover first, wasn't there? And then Need for Speed Shift.
Oh, I don't... it's not a series I really follow.
No, I mean... Yeah, let's check, shall we? Yeah. I've got it here. Yeah, Need for Speed Undercover did come out first. That came out in August, and then we got Need for Speed already in December there. So, yeah, there was quite a... Not an awful big gap between the two games. And to be honest with you, I don't think, gameplay-wise, there's a terribly big gap between the two games. I mean, of course, there's different objectives and modes, and there's obviously different cars and all that kind of thing, but ultimately, this is Need for Speed, as Need for Speed has always been. It's a racing game, and a very accomplished one, with great, great graphics, and yeah, it's that is what Need for Speed Shift is, basically. So that's the intro.
Okay. I'm gonna. I'll talk about. I thought about it. Then I've only played it for, I guess, about 20 minutes. So it's. I've not really given it the full go. And I'm not a massive fan of racing games so far. I kind of like real racing on the iPhone, but I didn't fall in love with it. I played it a little while. I thought it was an amazing achievement, but I didn't keep coming back to it that often. And Ridge Race obviously wasn't very good. I was disappointed by that. But this is actually very playable. You can choose different cars and compete in different competitions. It's kind of that thing where you kind of evolve your car and build it up and race against faster cars and stuff. I think the controls are quite slick and responsive. It's quite forgiving. The graphics are awesome. And the feeling of speed is really pretty impressive. A very impressive addition to the racing genre, and possibly my favourite racing game, albeit these 20 minutes that I've played, certainly this year. Well, that's only 8 days old, but yeah, no, I think it's very promising. I could definitely play more of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So back to Rob.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played it. Like you, I'll just do some commentary in between. I'm also not a great fan of iPhone racers, although I'm sort of getting used to them. I really liked that Jetstar Ants one, so that was really good. I did fancy giving it a go, actually. When something gets a really good rating, you think, well, okay, I'll give it a go, even if I do have an innate prejudice against that kind of game. It does look good.
Yeah.
What are the steering options? You can... Can you do it with on-screen D-pad?
The default is tilt. I haven't even looked to change it to it because I thought it worked really well. It was kind of a lot. It was quite easy to control. Like, I find like real racing a bit too sensitive. Maybe it's a bit too simulation-y.
Yeah, I think the kind of tilt controls that have been put in place are quite they're nicely pitched. You know, like as Chris says, they're not too twitchy. You know, they just work kind of the way that you'd hope that they would when you pick up a racing game. So I haven't checked either to see if there's a D-pad. But do you prefer that, Rob, over accelerometer?
Yeah, I really don't like tilt controls for them. I do get the impression, though, because I remember the first time I played a first-person shooter on a console, having played them on PC for years, and thinking, this is completely unworkable. It's ridiculous. Why would anyone... How is it possible even to control the first-person shooter with a control pad? Like, I felt quite strongly about it. I became violent. I thought, this is utterly pointless.
You do tend towards violence, Rob. That's something I'm concerned about, actually. You know, I think maybe something you should see or something.
Where gaming's concerned, I resort to violence very quickly. Fortunately, no one from, EA, I think it was, who made the game I was playing. At the time, he was there with me. Otherwise, you know, it could have got messy. But unfortunately, over the years, what I've realised is, actually, it's fine. And I really like playing first-person shooters with a control pad. But I had that initial kind of revulsion. And I think sometimes when I pick up a racer on an iPhone, I get the feeling that the same thing is happening and I'm just not giving it enough of a chance. That... Yeah. If I just stick with it, then in a few months' time, it'll be second nature. And I'll be thinking, wow, yeah, I can't... You know, I don't know why I ever had a problem with this, but at the moment I'm still very much in the phase of thinking that it doesn't really work. I don't like having my visual field affected by the movements of my hands, I suppose that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there you are, that's just me, and you know, and I'm just not giving it enough of a chance.
Should I give it my minute?
Hang on,
well, I'll press start.
Right. Okay.
Here we go. Okay. It's done.
Right, okay. It's the thing, I like the accelerometer controls. I'm not really the biggest racing game fan on any platform, really. So I don't have any kind of prejudice against this game, you know, based on what platform it's come out on. I think, you know, objectively, it works really well on the iPhone. I've got no complaints there. One of the things that I noticed about this game that I've not had a chance to have a shot of is that it's got both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi multiplayer, which are increasingly common. And I have found with some of these more high-profile, kind of more console-like experiences, that has been a feature that's been responsible for bringing me back. For example, Nova, I've gone back to play with the Wi-Fi multiplayer quite often, and I think this would be similar. I think this is a game where that kind of feature would draw me in. But yeah, you know, that's the thing. I don't know, I just can't get overly excited about another...
You're halfway through your sentence.
Well, yeah, I can't get overly excited about another racer on iPhone. The competition's fierce for the genre, and it seems to be working out quite well. But I just, you know, we're getting to the point now where I think that you could put me down in front of three or four of the best, and I would struggle to tell the big differences between the four of them. The differences aren't large enough for me to get particularly excited about any one of them. But maybe that's just because I don't have enough love for the genre, so... Yeah.
Indeedly. Okay. So overall, am I giving it a thumbs up? You seem to have a thumb sideways there phrase for that.
It's a slanty kind of... It's a wilted thumbs up.
Okay. And Rob, you've not really got an opinion.
Thumbs are still in my pockets. Fine. My fingers are outside in a kind of cowboy style.
So do we have a game of the week that of those we've played? Which do we think? I mean, I'm kind of caught between Need for Speed and the In Space Invaders, but what do you think, Rob?
If it were me, it is me that's making this decision, but I haven't played those two of those games, so I can't really say. But I think it would be between Space Invaders and Square Ball, just because because they're both a bit more unusual and. And the racing game, as I said, I've got a problem with racing games generally, and also, it's much more kind of mainstream and obvious and console-y, and I tend to prefer the ones like Square Ball. So yeah, I think I might vote for Square Ball simply because I've played it.
Okay, and Fraze?
Well, I'm very quickly, just because I'm now down to reserve battery power, going to say Square Ball. Definitely my game of the week. I really like its quirkiness, and I think it's great fun to play.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, well, in that case, are we not going to have time to go through our reviews, are we?
I don't think so, sadly. This week I think we're gonna have to cut it short. But if anyone has any kind of parting wisdom that they'd like to impart, I think we could probably squeeze that in.
Well, we could say that just because we don't have time to go through our latest reviews verbally, and it would have been a bumper load all the way through Christmas... That doesn't mean you can't go to Pocket Gamer and have a good read yourself. Master the art of reading once again. It's not too late to save your brain. But apart from that, I've got nothing else to say. Have you got anything else to say, Chris?
No, not this week. I've got to say good luck in getting home, Fraser. I know it's a long journey. You're gonna have to get across that.
Seriously, if anybody's stolen my parking space outside my house, I'm going to be so aggrieved. Okay, and the other thing I have to say is bye.
Okay, and I suppose I shall also say goodbye.
Goodbye from me.